Radio News Corp reports.
On November 3, 2005, the New York Times released an editorial concerning the administration's opposition to the application of the Geneva Conventions to the prisoners in the so-called War on Terror, and explaining how the civilians at the White House are preventing the Pentagon from abiding by the conventions. Said editorial reads as follows.
It's maddening. Why does the Bush administration keep forcing policies on the United States military that endanger Americans wearing the nation's uniform? Policies that the military does not want, that do not work, and that violate standards upheld by the civilized world for decades.
When the Bush administration rewrote the rules for dealing with prisoners after 9/11, needlessly scrapping the Geneva Conventions and American law, it ignored the objections of lawyers for the armed services. Now, heedless of the lessons of Abu Ghraib, the civilians are once again running over the people in uniform. Tim Golden and Eric Schmidt reported yesterday in the Times that the administration is blocking the Pentagon from adopting the language of the Geneva Conventions to set rules for handling prisoners in the so-called War on Terror.
Senior military lawyers want these standards, as do some defense and State Department officials outside the inner circle. They say the abuse and torture of prisoners has reduced America's standing with its allies and taken away its moral high ground with the rest of the world. They also know that it endangers any American soldiers who are captured.
The rigid ideologues blocking this reform say the Geneva Conventions banning inhumane treatment are too vague. Which part of no murder, torture, mutilation, cruelty, or humiliation do they not understand? The restrictions are a problem only if you want to do such abhorrent things and pretend they are legal. That is why the Bush administration tossed out the rules after 9/11.
It's a terrifying thing when the people who devote their lives to protecting our national security feel that the civilians who oversee their operations are out of control.
Dana Priest reports in the Washington Post that even the Central Intelligence Agency's clandestine operators are getting nervous about the network of secret prisons they have around the world, including, of all places, at a Soviet-era compound in Eastern Europe.
We're not naive enough to believe that if the CIA nabs a CADA operative who knows where a ticking bomb is hidden, that terrorist will emerge unbruised from his interrogation. Extraordinary circumstances are different from general policies that allow foot soldiers and even innocent bystanders to be swept up in messy, uncontrolled, and probably fruitless detentions. Ms. Priest reports that of the more than 100 prisoners sent by the CIA to its black site camps, only 30 are considered major terrorism suspects, and some have presumably been kept so long that their information is out of date.
The rest have limited intelligence value, according to the Post, and many of them have been subjected to the odious United States practice of shipping prisoners to countries like Egypt, Jordan, and Morocco, and pretending that they won't be tortured.
Like so many of the most distressing stories these days, the outing of Valerie Wilson and questions about the intelligence on Iraq also come to mind. This one circles right back to Vice President Dick Cheney's office.
Mr. Cheney, a prime mover behind the attempts to legalize torture, is now leading a backroom fight to block a measure passed by the Senate 90-9 that would impose international standards and American laws on the treatment of prisoners. Mr. Cheney wants a different version, one that would make the CIA's camps illegal, although still hidden, and authorize the use of torture by intelligence agents. Mr. Bush is threatening to veto the entire military budget over this issue.
When his right-hand man, Louis Libby, resigned after being indicted on charges relating to Team Cheney's counterattack against Joseph Wilson, Mr. Cheney replaced him with David Addington, who helped draft the infamous legalized torture memo of 2002. Mr. Addington is now blocking or weakening proposed changes to the prison policies.
The Times said he had berated a Pentagon aide who had briefed him and Mr. Libby recently on the draft of the new military standards for handling prisoners. The indictment of Mr. Libby said he had done the same thing to a CIA briefer in 2003 when agency officials questioned the intelligence on Iraq.
The Times reports that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and the National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley favor changing the detention policies. So we can only conclude that President Bush has decided to expend the minimal clout remaining to his beleaguered administration in a fight to put the full faith and credit of the United States behind the concept of torture. After all, the sign on Dick Cheney's door says he is the vice president.
Following news of the existence of U.S. secret detention facilities in Europe, the human rights organization, Human Rights Watch, has released the following statement.
The Washington Post reported on November 3, 2005, that the United States has used secret detention facilities in Eastern Europe and elsewhere to illegally hold terrorist suspects without rights or access to counsel. Citing U.S. government concerns, the article did not identify the locations in Eastern Europe.
Human Rights Watch has conducted independent research on the existence of secret detention locations that corroborates the Washington Post's allegations that there were detention facilities in Eastern Europe.
Specifically, we have collected information that CIA airplanes traveling from Afghanistan in 2003 and 2004 made direct flights to remote airfields in Poland and Romania.
Human Rights Watch has viewed flight records showing that a Boeing 737, registration number N313P, a plane that the CIA used to move several prisoners to and from Europe, Afghanistan, and the Middle East in 2003 and 2004, landed in Poland and Romania on direct flights from Afghanistan on two occasions in 2003 and 2004. Human Rights Watch has independently confirmed several parts of the flight records and supplemented the records with independent research. According to the records, the N313P plane flew from Kabul to northeastern Poland on September 22, 2003, specifically to Szymany Airport near the Polish town of Szyszyntó in Warmia, Mazuria province.
Human Rights Watch has obtained information that several detainees who had been held secretly in Afghanistan in 2003 were transferred out of the country in September and October 2003. The Polish Intelligence Service maintains a large training facility and grounds near the Szymany Airport.
The records show that the N313P plane landed the next day, September 23, 2003, at the Mikhail Kogal-Niceniu military airfield in Romania. The flight records indicate that the plane flew on to Morocco the same day, and then to Guantanamo Bay. The Department of Defense, which releases information about all detainee transfers to Guantanamo, released no statement about a transfer to Guantanamo around this date. According to our research, the United States has been using the Mikhail Kogal-Niceniu airfield in Romania for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan since 2002, and the base has been closed to the public and journalists since early 2004.
Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld visited Romania and the Mikhail Kogal-Niceniu base in October 2004. The N313P plane also flew from Kabul to the Timișoara Airport in Romania on January 25, 2004.
On Friday, the Associated Press quoted Szymany Airport officials in Poland, confirming that a Boeing passenger plane landed at the airport at around midnight on the night of September 22, 2003. The officials stated that the plane spent an hour on the ground and took aboard five passengers with U.S. passports.
The N313P airplane and other planes allegedly used by the CIA to transport prisoners have also repeatedly landed at airports in Jordan, Morocco, Egypt, and Libya, as well as in Germany, the United Kingdom, Switzerland, Spain, Portugal, Macedonia, Cyprus, the Czech Republic, and Greece.
Most of these landings have taken place at major civilian airports or joint civilian-military airports, both unlikely locales for clandestine operations. The Szymany and Mikhail Kogal-Niceniu airfields are more remote.
Further investigation is needed to determine the possible involvement of Poland and Romania in the extremely serious activities described in the Washington Post article. Arbitrary incommunicado detention is illegal under international law. It often acts as a foundation for torture and mistreatment of detainees.
U.S. government officials, speaking anonymously to journalists in the past, have admitted that some secretly held detainees have been subjected to torture and other mistreatment, including waterboarding, immersing or smothering a detainee with water until he believes he is about to drown. Countries that allow secret detention programs to operate on their territory are complicit in the human rights abuses committed against detainees.
Human Rights Watch knows the names of 23 high-level suspects being held secretly by U.S. personnel at undisclosed locations. An unknown number of other detainees may be held at the request of the U.S. government in locations in the Middle East and Asia. U.S. intelligence officials, speaking anonymously to journalists, have stated that approximately 100 persons are being held in secret detention abroad by the United States.
There is no doubt that secret detention facilities operated by the United States exist. The Bush administration has cited, in speeches and in public documents, arrests of several terrorist suspects now held in unknown locations.
Some of the detainees cited by the administration include Abu Zubaydah, a Palestinian arrested in Pakistan in March 2002, Ramzi bin al-Shib, arrested in September 2002, Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri, also known as Abu Bilal al-Maki, arrested in United Arab Emirates in November 2002, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, arrested in Pakistan in March 2003, along with Mustafa al-Hawsawi, and Hambali, a.k.a. Ridwan Isamuddin, arrested in Thailand in August 2003.
Human Rights Watch urges the United Nations and relevant European Union bodies to launch investigations to determine which countries have been or are being used by the United States for transiting and detaining incommunicado prisoners.
The U.S. Congress should also convene hearings on the allegations and demand that the Bush administration account for secret detainees, explain the legal basis for their continued detention, and make arrangements to screen detainees to determine their legal status under domestic and international law.
We welcome the decision by the Legal Affairs Committee of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe to examine the existence of U.S.-run detention centers in Council of Europe member states. We also urge the European Union, including the EU Counterterrorism Coordinator, to further investigate allegations and publish its findings.
On November 7, 2005, the Legal Affairs Committee of the Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly, PACE, appointed its chairperson, Dick Marty, from Switzerland, member of the Alliance of Liberals and Democrats for Europe, as rapporteur to examine the subject of alleged secret CIA detention centers with a view to a possible urgent debate at the next Standing Committee's meeting, to be held in Bucharest on November 25, 2005.
The committee recalled that in PACE Resolution 1433 of 2005, the Assembly calls upon member states to ensure that their territory and facilities are not used in connection with practices of secret detention.
The committee also agreed to authorize Mr. Marty to visit certain member states if need be. It finally urged the Secretary General of the Council of Europe to request all member states to provide him with any information at their disposal, by virtue of Article 52 of the European Convention on Human Rights.
In this context, PACE President René van der Linden has already stressed earlier last week that all Council of Europe member states are under a legal obligation to respect the relevant provisions of the European Convention on Human Rights and of the European Convention for the Prevention of Torture.
He also drew attention to the recently adopted PACE texts on lawfulness of detentions by the United States in Guantanamo Bay, and on enforced disappearances.
For further information on civil liberties and anti-terror policies, you may visit Equipo NISCOR's specialized webpage on State of Exception.
This information has been provided by the New York Times, Human Rights Watch, and the Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly official website.
It has been produced by Radio NISCOR with the collaboration of the Shell Center for International Human Rights at Yale Law School and edited and post-produced at our studios in Madrid on December 5, 2005.